This is the best of Amber and Billows on Sunraysia's Hit 99.5.
Would you rather?
Here are two very different scenarios.
You need to pick whichever one you please, though.
The choice is yours, which one will it be, oh?
Would you rather?
Amber.
Yo.
Would you rather a large, perfectly spherical head or a butt crack that goes all the way up your back and stops at your hairline?
Okay,
so now when I say large, perfectly spherical head, can you picture
like
Charlie Brown?
Your head.
Oh.
How hard
this isn't meant to be mean to me.
What's day-to-day life like with a huge spherical head?
Okay, so
your daily routine.
Hey. Hey, I will end this now.
How do you go fitting it through like your neck hole and a shirt and stuff?
In this scenario, you will need to have specially made t-shirts that have like buttons, like a, you know, like a baby's onesie.
Yeah, where do you go to get yours done?
I will end it. All I've got in reach right now is a telephone and a tin of tuna, and one of them is going to get launched across this desk, truly.
Sounds very aggressive.
It is very aggressive, Amber.
Okay.
Now,
okay. So special-made shirts.
Special-made shirts.
Big round head.
And people look at you like, whoa, her head is massive and perfectly spherical.
Is there a support group for people?
Just you, mate. Just you. You're the only one. Or butt crack all the way up your back and stops at your hairline.
That makes me very uncomfortable.
Especially when your anus is also halfway up your back.
Oh, well, how, logistically.
What do you mean?
How am I supposed to poo?
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
But it's in private. It's your problem. It's your private problem, that part. Okay. The butt crack can be seen, though.
So does that mean, like, my whole back is a butt cheek?
Yep.
Both sides of my back become butt cheeks.
All cheeks.
So I have the longest butt cheeks in the world.
Yep.
Or the biggest head.
Big, perfectly spherical head.
Mm.
It's not a fun one, is it?
Where do you buy your hats?
You get them perfectly made as well. Just picking up the tin of tuna just in case you start turning this round again. Any other questions?
Nah, I mean, at least if I have this perfectly spherical head.
Large spherical head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't be alone. So you and I could be the big...
This is over.
The big noggin.
This is over.
No,
I don't care what your answer is anymore. No, don't care. Amber, I've got a very special award to hand out this morning.
You are a dickhead. The biggest dickhead. You are today's biggest dickhead. This is a big world with lots of dickheads. But you are the winner today.
Great.
Today's dickhead of the day, Amber, comes out of Northern Italy. Now, the first person I speak of is not today's recipient.
Okay.
She's the victim. She's a Canadian tourist who was waiting for a train, passed out, I'm not sure, but she fell into the path of a moving train. This is absolutely awful. And
is she all right? What happened?
She lived. She did have her leg amputated.
That's serious.
But she was being treated by paramedics between the tracks. So you've got platform, track, middle bit where she's being treated.
Yeah. More
track,
train.
Platform.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Today's dickhead of the day is the guy standing on the platform getting a selfie while popping up a peace sign with her being treated in the background.
Oh. Well done, dickhead.
What are you planning on doing with that photo? Are you like, this is going to get me so many likes?
What? Like,
this woman could have died.
I don't understand the thought process.
Me neither. I mean, selfie, peace sign. I can't see his face, but I can only imagine a poo-eating grin.
Yeah.
And
smug.
Yeah. What's your plan?
No idea.
Because all you're going to get is, like, you let's say he does go, I'm getting all the likes, pop this on Instagram, surely you're just going to get ridiculed.
Yeah.
You're just going to get torn to shreds like he is now.
People are going to write in the comments like, hey, did you know that that's probably going to be an Amber and Billows' dickhead of the day?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you know that she lost her leg and you're the worst?
I hope that guy feels really bad.
Oh, God, like, really I do bad. As well. Oh, just everything about this just rubs me the wrong way.
Like, he owes her an apology.
He just owes... I'm not going to finish that sentence. I'm nearly biting my tongue off at the moment.
Yeah.
So instead of threatening my job, I'm just going to award him today's Dickhead of the Day.
Bravo, dickhead.
Amber, the other day while you're off sick, I did a story about a guy from the States who won an eating competition, and I've heard of eating competitions before, hot dogs and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This guy won an oyster eating competition.
That's hectic.
Where in 8 minutes he put down 480 oysters.
That's so many. 40 dozen oysters.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I've tracked him down. He joins us on the line now. Darren Breeden, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you all doing?
Oh,
good.
So good to have you on the line. Let's start at the start. How does someone end up as a professional eater?
Well, for me, I had lost a decent bit of weight. I used to be a beast. And then after I lost all the weight, I did one of those man versus food style challenges, you know, where you go to a restaurant and have a big thing of food. Well, I did one in Japan where it was a 5-pound curry rice challenge, and I ended up beating that in around 6 minutes or so. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Wow.
So that's where I got started.
So this was all after you'd lost a heap of weight?
Yes, ma'am.
Spectacular.
Wow, because that was something I was going to bring up. You're not a very big guy, but somehow you've got this amazing eating ability where you can hold your own against these very big professional eaters.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Well, the thing was, I got big in the first place because I ate way too much for my own good, and I would do that on a daily basis. But after I lost the weight, I could still eat the same amount of food, but there's no adipose tissue where my abdominal cavity is, so my stomach just keeps going and just stretches out.
This is amazing. Now, it's not just oysters you can do. I've been doing a bit of stalking on you. You've entered and gone very well in quite a few eating competitions. Rip us through some of the ones you've won.
I've won a few hot dog qualifying events, and actually, this past May, I ate 46 and a half hot dogs to qualify for the 4th of July Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
46 hot dogs?
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa.
I've also seen there was donuts, there's been chili, am I missing any?
Yeah, a bunch of interesting foods, like Abel Skivers, which are Danish pancake balls. I ate 98 of those.
I'm going to stop you right there. Did you just use the word anus pancake? Like, we're supposed to know that's a thing?
That's an Abel Skiver. I didn't know it was a thing until I showed up for the contest, really.
What is an anus pancake?
Oh, not anus pancake. Oh. Abel Skiver. It's a Danish pancake ball.
Oh, a Danish pancake. Oh, I completely misunderstood. I'm like, that sounds awful.
I heard anus pancake as well. Okay, so Daz is eating Danish pancakes. Now,
that sounds wonderful.
Also, have you heard that oysters are an aphrodisiac?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
So after your competition, were you at all feeling, let's say, randy?
I'm always a pretty randy guy. So.
Attaboy. Yeah, you are.
All right. Well, I also have one final question for you because, and this is the main reason I wanted to talk to you. I want to know about the aftermath of an oyster eating competition because I can imagine you just feel like death and your toilet regrets every decision it made leading up to this. How'd you feel after it?
Well, a few hours afterwards, I felt fine. But then afterwards, I felt sorry for the other passengers on the plane because I had to catch the plane back home that day. So.
Oh, no. So do you think that this has put you off eating oysters for a while, or are you happy to eat one right now?
I'd gladly eat one right now. It's one of my favorite foods. So.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Darren Breeden, the New Orleans oyster eating champion.
40 dozen oysters.
I'm just saying those words.
So many.
Mind blowing. Darren, thank you so much for your time and good luck at the hot dog eating competition on the 4th of July.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Get up with Amber and Billows.
Amber banged her elbow on the table. Then we did naughty or sporty at 6:40. How's your elbow, mate?
I did bang my elbow. And yes, we are doing naughty or sporty at 6:40. What you got?
Amber.
Yeah.
We got a sporty. I know.
Shut the front door.
Yeah, I know. Now, Amber, I'm the last person to be the whole, the world's getting soft. Political correctness gone mad. I'm not that guy.
No.
Because 99 times out of 100, you're wrong if that's your opinion. But this one I do feel pretty strongly about. I'm not a fan of the participation award, Amber.
Okay, yeah.
Every kid getting a trophy? No.
Every kid can get a high five.
Yeah.
But first, second, and third get the trophies.
Yeah.
That's life, mate.
I believe in first, second, and third, yeah. And I believe in, you know, like, trophies for just the winners. I believe in keeping score, Amber.
Yep.
I think these are all very important things to teach kids. Ian Thorpe is calling for an end to medal targets because it's putting too much pressure on the athletes at the Olympics. These people are at the top of their game, and Ian Thorpe, multi-gold medal winner,
yeah,
is worried that it's a bit much pressure.
It's the freaking Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. Like, this isn't little under-12s little ads.
No. Nah.
This is the Olympics. There's going to be some pressure. And
like, do you want to win?
Yeah.
Do you want to win a gold medal? Yeah? Oh, okay, then go do that.
Also, if you've done things like, you know, the taxpayer-funded Institute of Sport,
mm-hmm,
we want a return on investment.
Mm.
So the last Olympics, where we went a bit crap, yeah, we're a little bit disappointed and we expect a bit more from you. And if you don't perform, then we're going to pull some of that funding because you're not giving us a return on our investment. We want success for our money.
Are we, though?
What do you mean?
Australia just froths on all the sport, like, loves it.
That's right, because we're good at it.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, swimming. We've been a swimming powerhouse for decades.
God, we love swimming,
So when we don't perform in the pool, that's embarrassing for us because we are the best in the world at it.
Mm.
We're swimming away from crocodiles and stuff. That's what we do here down under. And I'm sorry.
Is that
sorry.
Our national slogan?
Yeah, that's right.
The swimming team.
We practice swimming by getting away from crocs. So when Thorpe's Angels can't perform in the pool, I'm a little bit upset.
Yeah. I wonder what their medal targets are.
I don't...
gold. Yeah, just heaps of gold, please.
Gold from everyone. Anyone who gets anything less than gold is a loser. A big loser. Amber, I'd like to talk about the police. Now, I am a big fan of the police. They keep us safe and they do a dangerous job to which they're not paid enough. I'd like to get that out on Front Street. But police in Sydney are now going to have the power to deny you entry into festivals, even if you aren't in possession of drugs. They are going to have drug dogs with them, and if a drug dog reacts to you, then you will be denied entry.
That's
now,
hectic.
They might. So let's say, here's a scenario.
Mm.
Drug dog comes up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It sniffs
fight
you.
Every urge in my being to pat it.
It sniffs you and it sits, it barks, whatever it does.
Yeah.
The police search you. One of two things happen. They find drugs on you, in which case, obviously, you're not getting into the festival.
Bye.
You're going to get charged for drug possession,
mm-hmm,
which is fine.
Yeah.
B, they find nothing on you, and you're still not allowed in.
Why are they doing this?
They are having
to set an example or something?
Zero tolerance on this is what they're basically saying.
Whoa.
Now, I'm not and never have been a drug guy.
Yeah.
It's just never been my thing. I'm not the dance festival guy. I'm not token up at festival. It's not who I am.
Yeah.
But have you, like, and I have, well, one thing, I look like a stoner.
You do.
And I always have.
Yes.
So that's been my cross to bear through my adult life. But have you ever tested positive for something at the airport? Because I have, again.
Oh, yeah.
I got out of, when I was in Memphis, I tested positive to something and it took quite a lot of time and I was touched, I'm saying inappropriately.
Wow.
To the, and they're like, oh, no, you're fine. You've got nothing. I'm like, oh, yeah, no. I just got an Uber here that I can only assume had Tony Montana in the back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So if that was not an airport, me trying to get into summer days, then so, I wouldn't have been allowed in.
So you're with your mates.
Yeah.
And say they have drugs,
mm-hmm,
and you've just been around them, you've maybe, like, touched them who's touched drugs, and then the dog barks at you and you can't get in, even though
100%.
That's hectic.
That is something that is, it's an abuse of power and it's not fair. If you don't find drugs on someone, then you shouldn't be allowed to refuse them entry.
Aren't you innocent until proven guilty?
That is spot on, Ev. That is spot on. Mm. Not according to these people.
Yeah, that's...
So that is why I'm upset. Again, I'm not for drugs in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and you're not anti-police either.
Not
That's definitely not what you're saying.
I'm just anti-abuse of power.
Boom.
You're listening to the best of Amber and Billows on Sunraysia's Hit 99.5.